Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. We'll read verses 14 through 16 together, responsively. And then we'll read several other verses throughout this passage. Matthew, chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Skip down to verses 24 and 25. I'll read verse 24, and you'll join in with me on verse 25. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It has been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayeth him, said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Skip down to verse number 47. We'll read verses 47 through 50 responsively. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is it, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Then turn to chapter 27, we'll read verses 3 through 5 responsively. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for such a wonderful place that you've given us. Thank you for this group of people. Father, we're a sinful people. We're a needy people. And though we often try very hard not to, we still fail you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Give us what we need to hear from you through him today in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Do me a favor, stay with me tonight as I preach. I'll be quite honest with you, the topic is part two of this morning's sermon. It's on the subject of disloyal Judas. This subject makes me want to preach and throw an ever-loving fit. Disloyalty makes me mad, but the only thing is, I'm not mad at anyone. If somebody around here would be disloyal, I could throw a fit and I could preach this thing, but I'm going to teach it. I'm going to teach it on purpose, but if you'll stay with me, I think everybody's tired and a little lethargic this evening, so stay awake on purpose and listen very carefully. I do not think we understand a sermon like this and the chaos and the hurt that it could prevent. And so you listen to me very carefully this evening as I preach Disloyal Judas, part number two. And I preached the first part of it this morning. Tonight, I'll rehearse just a bit of what I said this morning and get on to the conclusion of the story of Judas. But tonight, again, I must say, I'll answer the question as to why I, from time to time and frequently, will mention the kinds of things that destroy a church's spirit. Gossip in the church, criticisms in the church, negative attitudes in the church, a two-faced type of a behavior, and disunity and sowing discord among the brethren, wrong friendships. Those kinds of things create an atmosphere here that produce disloyalties, and they are so damaging to a church. Tonight, we're examining one of the most negative stories in the entire Bible. We're looking at a very nasty behavior called disloyalty, and especially as it applies to a church. I said this morning, disloyalty has hurt more churches from the inside than any other sin. The devil can attack us from the outside, but he's not apt to do great damage. Oh, but when he attacks from the inside. I mean, look, if you're in a foxhole and they're shooting at you from the other end of the block, that's one thing. But when people in your same foxhole turn on you and shoot you in the back, now you've got a major problem. Oh, that's hard to contend with, and it's hard to deal with. This thing called disloyalty splits churches. It destroys men of God. It limits God's blessing. It weakens ministries. It hurts Christian schools and damages churches' reputations. It breaks hearts. It confuses the baby Christians. It blinds the seasoned veterans. Now, I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight. I know of no one in our church that is behaving disloyally. We are unified. We are experiencing a marvelous revival. I was going to figure it up, but I did not. But I think in the last 6 weeks, maybe the last 7 weeks, we've had over 300 people walk the aisles of this church receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. This church is in the midst of a revival and has been for 4 solid years. It's been like this over and over and over again. And so I'm not trying to fix something that's broken. When I started this sermon this morning, I did not preach it because I thought somebody was disloyal. I don't think that. And I am delighted. This is the very best way to preach a sermon to warn people about disloyalty. We're not under attack. I am not under attack. I don't foresee an attack. I don't sense an attack, and God knows I don't want an attack. This is preventive maintenance, and so I want us to be trained. I want us to be alerted. I want us to be aware, and I said it earlier, the best way to fix a problem like this is to fix it before it ever happens, and so we want to be very careful. And so this story of Judas, what I'm going to do, and please remember, if you are not here this morning, you ought to get the CD. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to cram both sermons onto one CD, so it'll all be one package. But I'd love you to get it. I'd love you to listen to it. Let me remind you a little bit of the story of Judas, and then bring you up to date, and we'll start out with some new material here this evening. Remember, this all started out when Jesus allows Judas to become one of the 12 disciples, which meant Jesus felt like Judas had some leadership qualities. Then, now, you have a man by the name of Judas. He is disloyal, and he is involved in some very good things with the other disciples. He probably looked just like the other disciples and acted like the other disciples, but he was disloyal. He had disloyalty in his heart. And we find out it is the devil that put that disloyalty there. The Bible says in John 13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Always remember something. Disloyalty is of the devil. It is the devil that does it. It's demonic. It's evil. And I said this morning, disloyalty is to the church what gangrene is to a body. It will rot it out. It will make it putrid and stinky. And so the devil puts into the heart of this man named Judas a desire and a temptation to be disloyal. Now, but Jesus was good to Judas. Jesus washes the feet of Judas. Jesus is good to Judas. They share a meal together. And maybe somehow Judas thought that Jesus being good to him meant that Jesus was stupid or didn't know that Judas was the disloyal one. But that's not true. Jesus was loving his enemy, and that's what we're commanded to do. Judas actually takes the Lord's Supper on the eve of the night when he is going to be disloyal. So they take the Lord's Supper. Now, you got to remember something. The Bible clearly teaches us that we're not to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. And if we do, it could cause sickness. It could cause grief in our life, even to the point of causing death. And in Judas's case, it did bring on death. So Judas took the Lord's Supper unworthily, and the Bible says within a matter of hours, Judas ends up dead over the thing. And this disloyalty, though, before Judas goes to his death, he does it at night. What had happened is Jesus and the disciples had met. They had shared the Lord's Supper. And in so doing, they spent this time together. And right at the end of the meal, Judas slips out in the dark all by himself to go out and to be disloyal and betray the Son of Man. And you always remember something. This thing of disloyalty, it's always starts in private. It's a secret thing. It's a secretive thing. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When Judas leaves the Lord's Supper that night, goes out in the dark to betray his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas finds a select few of people who would go along with this disloyalty. The Bible says that he goes and he finds the chief priest. He goes there, he carefully agrees with them about this disloyalty. And then Judas said he was conveniently looking for an opportunity to be disloyal. It says in Mark 14:11, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought out how he might conveniently betray him. So here is this fellow by the name of Judas. He looks just like one of the good guys. He snuck out away from the other disciples. He goes and finds somebody that will listen to his disloyalty. And he begins to converse with them. And he said, I will now try to find a convenient way to betray the Lord. And so I don't think Judas really wanted to look disloyal because he knew how evil it was, but he was disloyal. And then Judas, he seeks some personal gain out of this thing. He's talking to this high priest and they begin to make a deal. The Bible says they offer him 30 pieces of silver. You see, he wanted to gain something. Disloyal people are usually jealous people. Disloyal people are unsatisfied people. Disloyal people, something has not gone their way. They didn't get some leadership position they wanted. They didn't get some attention they wanted. They did not get some gain in life that they wanted. And so they attack that leader that they feel is responsible, or the group of people that are responsible for them doing without. Now, that's where we stopped this morning. I really do wish that you would listen to the first part of the sermon, but I want to take it up from there. I want to tell you a little more about the story. So many of you, you're familiar with the story of Judas and how it all turns out, but let's examine it just a little more carefully. And let me say this. Next, Judas, his disloyal influence started out with a select few, just a high priest. But before long, that disloyalty had snowballed into a large group of disloyal people. Listen to this. Matthew 26:47, it says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, understand something. When Judas first started his little disloyal act that started in his heart, he slips out at night, he goes and finds the chief priest, he's disloyal, and before long, this disloyal talk, these disloyal actions have now snowballed into the point where now we have, with Judas betraying Jesus, a great multitude of people with swords and staves. This evil, wicked, sly, disloyal betrayer started his influence with one, and it is multiplied into a band of destructive people. You see, the more support he gained, the more his pride blinded him, and his pride it gathered unholy momentum, and before long, this thing was out of control. He went from hurting just a few to hurting a multitude of people. And folks, that's what happens with disloyalty. Matter of fact, people that get started into a little in churches, and we don't deal with this here, but I promise you, when it happens in the church out there somewhere in America, it starts out with one man or one woman in their heart, in private. They don't care for some things. Before long, they begin to share that with one, and that one with another, and then yet another, and then yet another. And before long, it can get out of control, even to the point where the originator says, "Oh, what a mess I've created." But you can't stop that momentum. You can't regather the feathers, if you remember the sermon. And so, Judas's disloyal influence over a select few grew to a whole band of savage people. Next, if a group has become disloyal, it's had a leader or an evil mastermind. Let me read something to you. In Mark chapter 14, verse 43 and 44, again, about the story of Jesus, it says, "And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same shall is he. Take him and lead him away." Now notice something. Judas is leading this whole thing. He leads them to Jesus. The Bible says here, it says, "And one of the 12, speaking of Judas, and with him a great multitude." Judas is actually leading this band of people with swords and staves against the Savior. He led the whole group. I mean, there is a band of people following Judas who just a few hours earlier was at the in the upper room. He was at the Lord's Supper at Gethsemane. He was there. Now he sneaks out, he go gets a whole band of people, and he brings them back. And he is leading them. He picked the day. Judas did. He picked the time of the day. Judas did. He said, "I will even lead you to the exact person I'm betraying, and I'll lead you by way of the kiss." Judas even directed them. In verse number 44, it says, he said, "Take him." That's a command. Judas is commanding that disloyal crowd. He actually says in verse number 44, "And lead him away." That's a command. Judas is actually giving command to this disloyal tribe of wild people. He's telling them, "There he is. You take him. Now take him away." Oh my. You see, there was a leader in this disloyalty. There's always a ringleader when there's a disloyal group. Usually, and often, it's someone that's educated but arrogant. Or someone that is financially stable and they think they've earned the right to lead disloyalty. That's not always the case. There are some fine people that are well-educated that are loyal. There are some fine people that are financially stable that are loyal. Oh, but be careful. Remember, I told you this earlier today. If you have leadership abilities, God gave them to you not to hurt the work of God, but to help the work of God. And all of us need to be very careful with the God-given influence that is ours. Judas let others look like the bad guys. You know, if you really take a good look at this story, Judas walked over very calmly and just places a little kiss on Jesus' cheek. Now these people behind him, this band of Indians, I mean, they got swords and staves, and you got to picture this thing. Here you got Judas, calm, cool, dignified, but he's got a whole band of people that he's got all wound up. You see, he started that disloyal momentum, but he's under control. It even says this. It says that the disloyal one, he shows much self-control. Now, next, Jesus and the other disciples were busy praying when the disloyal one shows up. The Bible says, in Mark chapter 14, it says, "And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand." I told you this earlier today, and as a part of the introduction, I told you, Jesus and the disciples, they were busy doing the work of the Lord when these disloyal people attacked the work of the Lord. Disloyal people hurt the productivity of the church. Disloyal people will keep others from getting saved. Because of the disloyalty. Disloyal people, they had to stop praying. Why? They had to fight the battle. They had to face the disloyalty. Disloyal people hurt soul winning. Disloyal people will, hey, they'll slow down the bus routes. They'll slow down the ministries of the church. They'll slow down the Sunday school classes from growing and the changing of lives and the building of the ministry. That's what happened in this story. Jesus, the disciples, were on their faces praying. Jesus said, gotta get up. Gotta go mess with this disloyal batch. We're not going to be able to go soul winning as much, and we're not going to be able to have the freedom of the work of the ministry because we have disloyalty among our ranks. So Jesus had to get up off of his knees to face the disloyal betrayer, and the true work of God is hindered as a result of this disloyalty. Then we see next that Judas kisses Jesus on the cheek while he's betraying him. The Bible says in Luke 22, verse 47 and 48, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? I told you earlier, they call this the kiss of blood. Of course, this kiss was supposed to be a sign of love. This is the way some disloyal people work. They compliment their victims before stabbing them in the back. Be careful when someone sings a leader's praises and afterwards they've gotten your attention and then they unleash their criticisms. What they do is they set you up. Well, I think so-and-so is doing a great job on thus and so, but... And that's when they guarantee. See, they use the tool of praise because they think you're a sucker. And they'll praise the leadership before they stab the leadership. It throws you off guard. So be careful when someone sings a leader's praise and after getting your attention, they unleash their criticisms. Judas wanted to come across to Jesus as if he were loyal. He lied to this leader about his love. He lied to others about his admiration and love for the leader. It was only bait so he could move in for the kill. You know that Judas actually greets Jesus and he says, Hail, Master! Matthew 26:49 says, And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And kissed him. Well, I've got news for Judas. We today can look back and see, that was a phony statement. Hail, Master! Hail, Master! Judas had never surrendered to the leadership of Jesus Christ. That is a, hey, this loyalty is not surrendered fellowship, not whatsoever. You see, I believe that the purity of Christ and his teachings had embarrassed Judas's chosen level of Christianity, and he wanted to get rid of him. I believe that Judas, he placed that kiss on the cheek of Jesus Christ. It should have expressed love, but it did not. It did not. It was merely how he signaled to everyone, here's the guy that we're going to destroy. Next, Judas, after this terrible damage, he comes to his senses a bit. Listen to this, Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5, it said, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See that to that. See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out. And he hung himself. Judas, he realizes, I mean, it occurs to him what he's done and how wicked it is and how vile it is. Problem is, it's a bit late now. It's a bit late. The innocent leader, Jesus, is hurt. The leader's family is hurt. Mary will now watch her son crucified. The followers are hurt. The baby Christians are hurt. The cause of Christ is damaged. Oh, we know that God makes good of it, but Judas, his disloyalty, his betrayal, was as wicked as the devil himself. The lost have been hurt. And Judas comes to himself. Now that he's been disloyal, he looks back on the mess that he's created. He said, Oh, brother! What in the world? Look at what I've done. And he says, I think I'll try to fix this thing. So he runs down to the high priest, and the high priest said, That's your problem now. It's your problem. It can't be totally fixed. And let me tell you something, folks. Once you've been disloyal and hurt somebody else's reputation, how can you regather all the damage and heal it all? You won't. You won't. You will take the scars of disloyalty to your grave with you. Many will be scarred for life because of a disloyal one. Some that will be hurt by the disloyalty may never return to that given church or ministry. Others may come back but be damaged. I watched a man that had been hired to teach in a Bible college. He ended up using his classes to pull some students toward him. And at the end of the year, he gathered 40 Bible college students at another man's Bible college, and he convinced all of them to take off. They did. He went and started a Bible college in a distant state and started it with 40 students from somebody else's Bible college. Here's the bad part about it. This disloyal person who stole those students, out of the 40 students he took with them, 38 to this day, to my knowledge, don't even go to church anymore.
Right.
Only one of the 40 made it into the ministry. And after he followed this man to a failed church that the man started and a failed Bible college that the man started, I called him. I helped him travel to meet with me at my office, and I tried to rebuild his life and try to explain to him what a stupid mistake he had made by following that disloyal man. So I know of 2 out of 40 that are faithful to church to this day. Many are soured, confused, hurt, and damaged because of the disloyalty. And you know some of the same kinds of stories. Folks that are disloyal within the unit of the church, they pull others out. The people end up messing up their lives, messing up their marriages, messing up their children, and what a mess! And they're hard to get back in the church. They're confused, they're messed up, they're mixed up. It's sad. It's very sad. So Judas, after the terrible damage comes, he kind of comes to his senses, but he couldn't fix it all. Then what happened? Judas hung himself. The Bible says in Matthew 27:5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he parted and went out and hanged himself. Well, let's notice, he cast down the silver. What he thought was going to be gain, his speculation was not right. Wasn't really gain to him after all. I'm going to get that 30 pieces of silver. And he found out what he went after in his disloyalty didn't pan out the way he thought after all. Now he's tossed it on the ground and said, that's dirty. I don't want anything to do with it. What happened? He hurt himself by the disloyalty. Let me tell you, disloyalty, the person you will hurt most is you.
Right.
I don't want to use myself in it as an example, but let me explain. If you're disloyal to me, I could probably sleep at night. But if you're a born-again Christian and you are truly disloyal to someone that's loyal to this book, it'll haunt you because of the depth of the evil you have committed. Because if you have a conscience of any sort, this thing will eat at you. Let me warn you, ladies. Don't commit adultery on your husband. You say, because of the way it'll hurt him? No, because of what it'll do to you. When you cheat on your mate, it hurts you more than it hurts your mate. You men, don't be disloyal to your wife. It will scar you deeply. Be very careful. Judas hung himself. You know, Judas could have gone down in history differently. It's obvious he had leadership. Hey, wonder if Judas would have been loyal. Up until this point, I didn't see any misbehavior on Judas's part. I mean, you look at Peter and how God used Peter. Every time he turned around, Peter was goofing up. And God had to fix him up, and he'd goof up, and God had to fix him up, and he'd goof up, and God had to fix him up, and then God ended up using Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved. Hey, Peter had some leadership, and he had some flaws. I say to you tonight, Judas, from all I can tell, I mean, I didn't see a flub up after flub up after flub up, but I know he had leadership because he had enough leadership to lead a whole band of people against Jesus Christ. What would have happened if Judas would have stayed loyal? All the leadership and how God could have used him. Judas could have gone down in history differently. Nobody names their kids Judas. Any children here named Judas? They do name their kids Thomas and John and Mark. Some people even name their boys Sue, if you're Johnny Cash. You will damage you with disloyalty. You will mar your own self-worth. Your belief in yourself will be minimized lower than it should be for you to be a productive Christian. Judas hung himself. He could not bear the weight of his own disloyalty. Now, you know that the Bible actually, and we won't go back and find it, but the Bible actually talks about Judas and his father. They're mentioned together in one verse. Judas, his parents had to face his disloyalty. Oh, the pain. Judas's parents had to face Judas's disloyalty. Oh, Judas really did the family name a favor, didn't he? Judas hurt his mate. You know, if Judas were married, Judas's wife went down in history for being the wife of the betrayer. He hurt his children. Do you think that the children on the playground at recess ever said anything to Judas's children after he betrayed Christ? Here at his church, irreparable damage. They name hospitals after the other disciples. They name the graveyard after Judas. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Acladum." That is to say, the field of blood. It was actually considered a graveyard named after Judas, the betrayer. Judas hung himself. Disloyalty will hurt you. It'll hurt you as much, if not more, than other people. Now, the evil part about it is none of us have the right to hurt other people. And then finally, let me give you a few quick practical observations about these thoughts on Judas the betrayer. First of all, let's hope that in our church and in this ministry here, we don't have this kind of behavior. No, the devil will try. But let's hope that it doesn't happen right here. Secondly, you need to ask God for His mercy and His grace and be sure it's just not you. And let me tell you how I feel about it. I love you too much for you to hurt yourself like you would hurt yourself if you became the disloyal one. Don't do that to yourself. Maybe you have never counseled people that have been disloyal. I have. I've counseled assistant pastors that have been disloyal. I have counseled deacons that have been disloyal. I have counseled men and women in the church that have been disloyal. I've counseled those kinds of people. And I'll tell you something, they're hard to help. Very hard to help. Don't do that to yourself. Oh, be so careful. I love you too much to not warn you not to destroy yourself. And so, let's hope it doesn't happen here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Hey, let's make sure it does not happen to us by the grace of God as individuals. Number three, don't get pulled in to Judas's crowd. Don't get pulled into it. Don't allow it to happen. There may just be times when you need to say, stop right there, I don't want to hear it. Be kind and move on. disloyalty doesn't always come from the mouth. It's got to have an ear to enter.
Yes, sir.
If you lend the ear, you are partaker in the disloyalty. Then, help your family stay loyal. Teach them loyalty. If not, I'll warn you, if you don't teach your family loyalty, it may be you they're disloyal to next. I've seen it happen over and over again. I can take you to a group of men, and within this little unit, a group of men, they bound themselves together, and they were attacking some other preachers. They were being disloyal to these other men. And I told someone, I said, it won't be long that little group of men will attack each other. When disloyalty is your binding factor, get ready, you will be the target of someone in your group. They will target you next. Disloyalty knows no boundaries. You and your friend get together, and this is not happening in our church, but let me warn you. You and your friend get together, you unify to be disloyal to the church, to the work of God. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It won't be long that disloyalty will be aimed right back at you, and they'll come after you someday. It can happen with your own family. You go binding together with your own family and become disloyal. It may be that very family member will turn on you next because you trained them how to be disloyal, and you will reap which you have sown. I think that's what the Bible teaches. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So help your family to stay loyal. It's healthiest for everyone. Ask yourself this question. Are you loyal or disloyal? There's no halfway in between, so you know. Loyalty is a quality that has no mid-range. You're either loyal or you're not. Either you are or you're not. There is no awe loyalty. Awe loyalty is not loyalty at all. Jesus said this. Listen, Jesus said this, not Jeff Owens. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus said, either you're with me or not. There was no halfway in between, no middle ground. You're either loyal or you're not. Let me tell you, don't hate people. I hate the sin of disloyalty, but I don't hate the disloyal one. They have been used as a tool of the devil. Hate the wicked, demonic, evil, hell-sent sin of disloyalty. You know what Jesus said about this? Jesus said you better have never been born than to be disloyal. You understand? I wonder if we really understand this issue. I told you this morning, the reason why the devil is so capable at leading people at this thing of disloyalty, he was the ultimate example of disloyalty. He was in heaven. He was in heaven as Lucifer, one of the angels of heaven, and he led one third of heaven's angels to become disloyal to God himself, let them out of heaven. Of course, they suffered the consequences. Hell was prepared for them. But he led that. Disloyalty, if someone said, what is the original sin? There may be all sorts of debate about it, but I'll guarantee you're going to have to tack disloyalty onto it somewhere. That's how bad disloyalty is. It is that sin or a part of that sin that caused the fall from heaven. And God actually says through the person of Jesus Christ in Matthew 26:24, a disloyal person would have been better off never having been born. Listen to this. Matthew 26:24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man that he had not been born. That's powerful.
Yes, sir.
I didn't write that. I just read it to you. God said, Judas Iscariot had been better off having never been born. Why? Because he was disloyal. He was a betrayer of the things of God. So you know Judas went to hell. Now, he was not saved and lost. He did not get saved and then lose his salvation. He had never been saved. He had never totally, truly accepted the leadership of Jesus Christ. And often that's the problem with disloyal people. They have never truly accepted the submission of the leadership of the one they're betraying. But in this case, Judas was a lost man. He was in a saved situation. And boy, was he misbehaving. Oh, well, let me tell you. Some of your most prime suspects in a church to be disloyal are people that are not saved, but they're part of the church. You see, nobody knows that you're saved but you and God. You get people into the church rolling on the church membership that are unsaved. Boy, do they have fertile hearts for the sowing of the seed by the devil of discord and disloyalty into that heart. So you're not saved. You want to get saved because that's a dangerous thing to set in a church unsaved. Oh, you will find yourself critical. You will find yourself easy prey to the disunity in the church. But if you are saved, protect yourself. Protect your family. And again, let me say, what a delightful way for a preacher to be able to teach people about the subject of disloyalty. I'm not here to defend myself. I'm not here to defend my staff. I'm not here to defend our church against anybody but the devil. I don't sense that there's anybody in this building that would do anything even close to what Judas did. I don't sense disloyalty. I don't sense that at all. I thank God that our church is where our church is. But if we're going to keep it there, we're going to have to keep it there on purpose. My job as the pastor of this church is to look out onto the horizon and look at the storms of life coming our way. It's my job to say to you, get ready. There's an ordiner coming. There's a storm coming. And we better get ready for it. Now, I don't even see that that's on the horizon. I don't even see disloyalty on the horizon. But it is my obligation and responsibility as a pastor of this church to teach you how to handle those storms and to prepare us all. Because it could happen. I don't think it will, and I don't want it to. But if it does, we'll know how to behave ourselves. We'll see it. You'll be able to figure it out. And let's do right. And let's make sure that we're not like disloyal Judas or that band of people that hurt Jesus and the ministry of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.